1420 AM and W248 DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.
Serving central Wisconsin since 1940.
WFHR, Wisconsin Rapids.
This is CBS News on the Hour, your home for original reporting.
I'm Monica Ricks in New York. It's been an emotional day in Michigan as we learn more about the campus shooting at Michigan State University. Three students were killed there last night, and five more are in critical condition. Dr. Denny Martin treated them at Sparrow Hospital.
Didn't get a lot of sleep last night, sorry. So many people that came in.
Police say the shooter killed himself. He was not affiliated with Michigan State. One survivor says this feels like a horrific version of deja vu. Senior Jackie Matthews has now survived two school shootings. CBS's Matt Piper has her story.
I am 21 years old, and this is the second mass shooting that I have now lived through.
As she explained in her TikTok video, she was just a child when she was a student at Sandy Hook Elementary School in Newtown, Connecticut in 2012.
The fact that this is the second mass shooting that I have now lived through is incomprehensible.
Matthews lives directly across the street from where the Monday night shootings occurred.
We can no longer just provide love and prayers. It needs to be legislation. It needs to be action. It's not okay.
Illinois Senator Dick Durbin agrees.
Last Congress, this committee held 11 hearings on our nation's gun violence epidemic, and the Senate passed the most significant gun safety reform in nearly 30 years. But it's not enough. We have more to do.
Senators also received a classified briefing on a series of aerial objects today, including a Chinese spy balloon that was shot down off the Carolina coast. Former CIA Deputy Director Michael Morrell.
We fly many surveillance flights, intelligence collection flights, not over China, but near China. The Chinese can't do that. They don't have military bases close enough to the United States. So I think they're sending a message here that, look, we can spy on you too.
But the Biden administration says the most recent objects were not part of the broader Chinese spy program. California Democrat Dianne Feinstein's time in office is running out. CBS's Scott McFarlane explains.
Dianne Feinstein was first elected in the so-called Year of the Woman in Congress, 1992, and became the first woman to chair the Senate Judiciary Committee and the Senate Intelligence Committee. The former mayor of San Francisco says next year, the final year of her term, will be the final year for her in the Senate. Several California Democrats, including Adam Schiff, are seeking to succeed her.
Inflation's cooling off, but maybe not quickly enough. CBS's Jason Brooks.
The January Consumer Price Index rose 6.4%, the smallest gain in 15 months. But economists were expecting an even smaller gain, and that will weigh heavily in the Federal Reserve's next rate hike decision in March. Shelter costs continue to be a major issue, rising nearly 8% from a year earlier, while food prices were up more than 10%.
The Fed's still on track to raise interest rates next month. This is CBS News.
This week, Staples has deals so good, you're going to want to sit down. Are you sitting? I'll wait. Great. Right now during Staples Sit-a-thon, select chairs are up to 50% off, like the Union and Scale Essentials Mesh Back Task Chair. Now just $89.99 at Staples. You save $90. Plus get 2 2-ounce bottles of Purell hand sanitizer free with the Staples Connect app. So take a seat or two right now at Staples, the working, learning, and saving store. Ends 2/18. In-store only. Purell limit 2 while supplies last.
God, I'm so stressed. It's a brand new year and our business is busier than ever.
Ooma.
What is that? Meditation?
I'm recommending the Ooma cloud phone system with auto attendant and more than 35 features.
Ooma?
Yep. Switching to Ooma is a cinch. Starts at $19.95 per month per user, plus taxes and fees.
Ooma.
Now you're feeling it. Visit Ooma.com. That's OOMA.com to learn more. Ooma. Smart communications for the smarter business.
Like Americans, the Japanese...
The love for an animal is very special. They are your secret keeper, your sock finder, and your movie night watcher. Life simply wouldn't be the same without them. This week's Pet of the Week is brought to you by Love, Inc. in Wisconsin Rapids and the Southwood County Humane Society. Love, Inc., helping churches help people through Christ.
You are never far away from your favorite local radio station. We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app, and we invite you to get social with us by finding and following our network's Facebook, Twitter, Instagram, and LinkedIn pages. Want even more? Go to our website, civicmedia.us.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. Following is a list of upcoming meetings in the listening area for Wednesday, February 15th. In Wood County, the McMillan Memorial Library Personnel Committee will meet at 4 p.m. in the McCourt Conference Room at the library, followed by the Library Board of Trustees meeting at 5 p.m. In Portage County, the Healthcare Center Committee will meet at 5 p.m. at the Portage County Annex in Conference Rooms 1 and 2. In Adams County, the Drainage Board will hold their meeting from 10 to 11 a.m. over Zoom. The Housing Authority will meet from 2:30 to 3:30 p.m. at 350 East Liberty Street in Adams. The Wisconsin DMV is reminding residents you can obtain a free ID to vote if you don't already have another valid form of identification accepted at the polls. Wisconsin Rapids DMV is open on Tuesdays and Thursdays from 7:45 a.m. to 4:45 p.m. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Isolated rain showers likely tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows level off around 38, southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, slight chance for isolated showers. Daytime highs approaching 40. Chance for snow tomorrow night, lows around 20, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 45.
Locally grown radio from Vesper to Plover, we are your home for news, talk, and sports. 97.5 FM and WFHR, 1320 AM.
This is Matt Flynn Direct with your host, Matt Flynn.
Sooner or later, gotta cut you down. Go tell that long tongue.
Welcome to Matt Flynn Direct, coming to you statewide on Civic Media. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. No subject is off limits. All points of view are welcome. And remember, you're not woke if you don't know history. You're not woke unless and until you know history. We're going right to the front lines of history in the making. Talk about two races here in Wisconsin. Very different issues involved. I'm going to talk about the superficial issues, and then I'm going to talk about the real McCoy. Start of the Supreme Court race, Janet Protasiewicz right now appears to be ahead of four candidates. The latest filing from her, the financial filing required by Wisconsin law, she's raised about $2 million. That's about a million more than they'd anticipated or budgeted for the primary. She's raised $600,000 more than the rest of the field combined. Now, that's her raising. One of the problems in this race is that the E-Lines, this U-Line character, owns the U-Line company in Illinois, who put $30 million into Ron Johnson's campaign and put on slime ads to beat Mandela Barnes. He's already put in six figures. And he's going to put in anything dwarfing what Janet Protasiewicz can raise, or anybody can raise, because then there'll be outside contributions on her side, too. But in any event, in the general. But here's the deal. Here's the deal. Here are some of the superficial issues. Dan Kelly is in trouble. Dan Kelly, I think, is not a good candidate. He lost re-election. He was appointed to the Supreme Court by Scott Walker, and he did a bad job. Then he did a bad job in his campaign, and he lost when they had the first election where they could test him. He's running again, and he is viciously attacking this Jennifer Doro. And he's attacking her on some what I think are superficial things, but I want to talk to you about the real issue. There's the issue originally of the fact that her son is being investigated by the police for selling drugs to a UWM student that were laced with fentanyl and killed the student. And the son's not talking. Jennifer Doro is not cooperating. And that was the issue for the time being. Well, now there's another issue. About 2 weeks ago, the Court of Appeals in Wisconsin, a 3-0 decision, so it was unanimous, overturned a sentence she had given to a woman who was convicted of drunk driving. Fifth offense. She blew a 2.99. Now, I'll tell you something. You blow a 2.99, the standard is 0.08. Anything over 1.0 gets serious. Anything over 2.0, you can barely see. At 2.99 is like a 3.0. I mean, I'm surprised she has a liver left. In any event, this was her fifth offense. Apparently, people had said that she'd stolen some booze from a store but her conviction was for drunk driving. I don't know whether she stole the booze or not, but she certainly drank a hell of a lot of booze. Wisconsin law provides, she could have been given a fairly substantial prison term. Wisconsin law provides that she should have been given at least a minimum of a year and a half in jail. Fifth offense is a serious thing. First offense is bad. For a long time, we were the only state in the country that didn't make that a criminal offense. Second offense is bad. Third is really bad. Fourth, fifth, at some point, you're going to kill somebody. When you blow 2.99, you're going to run over a child, hit a bike, crash into a car at an intersection and kill a family. And she should have sentenced this woman to at least a year and a half, maybe a year. Well, she gave her probation. She gave her probation. The Court of Appeals said, no way, Jose. And they reversed and it has to be resentenced. And this Dan Kelly is hitting her on that. Mark Belling, who's supporting Jennifer Doro, is hitting Kelly for raising the issue. It's a mess. That's the Republican so-called conservative side. But the real issue why it's essential to elect Janet Protasiewicz is not whether Jennifer Doro is a particularly good trial judge, especially when there are no cameras in the courtroom and she's been questioned about her sentencing history and excessively lenient and so on. That's not the issue. The issue is that Jennifer Doro is an election denier, just like Dan Kelly. Jennifer Doro is supported by Pat Rogensack. She's the Supreme Court justice who is not running for re-election, and this is why there's an open seat. And she was one of the three who voted not to certify Joe Biden, even though he won the election. Another one, two of the others, are supporting Dan Kelly. Two of the others that said that they weren't going to certify Joe Biden either. These are not conservatives. It is not a conservative thing to say that when somebody, in this case Joe Biden, won an election fair and square in Wisconsin, we're simply going to overrule the will of the voters and install Donald Trump. That's not conservative. That's commie. That's commie. That's what happens in Russia. Belarus, that would happen in most of Asia, most of Africa. That's a commie deal. That's what would happen in Turkey. And we're not going to put up with that. The other thing is the 1849 statute, really kind of severe statute banning abortion. 1849 is 174 years ago. Women couldn't vote in 1849. Science in 1849 was primitive compared to now. But these so-called conservatives say that that statute's still a good statute. I mean, there are statutes in Merry Old England that go back to the 1300s. Nobody enforces them. People didn't know anything in the 1300s, or the 1400s, or the 1500s, or the 1600s, or the 1700s. And not in the 1800s when it comes to any kind of science. But this case is about this law. It's not a lawsuit. This election is about is this swing vote, because right now it's three. They call them Democrats. They're actually independent justices who simply do the right thing. People like Anne Walsh Bradley, people like Rebecca Dallet, and so forth. These people are three in number on a court of seven. And right now, there are three in number on a court of seven the other way. This is the swing vote, and it's a 10-year seat. 10-year seat. If you care about gerrymandering, and you don't like it, as I do not like it, you will vote for Janet Protasiewicz. If you like gerrymandering, you'll vote for one of the two people calling themselves conservatives. We're not conservatives, they're for commie government. If you think that an 1849 statute that controls women, but women couldn't vote for it, it's 174 years old, there's been a lot of medical advances in 174 years, duh. Then if you don't like that statute, you'll vote for Janet Protasiewicz. If you like that statute, you'll vote for one of the others. If you think that somebody who wins an election in Wisconsin, and you know we have fair elections, you know we have fair elections, and you want to certify the winner, regardless of party, vote for Janet Protasiewicz. She'll certify a Republican, a Democrat, whoever wins. If, on the other hand, you think that only Republican candidates should be certified, then you'll vote for the other two. It's as simple as that. It is really as simple as that. The second local election I wanted to talk about, and remember, the primary is a week from today. 7 days away, you can vote early. You can vote early in person. Just go down to whatever the polling place is in your municipality, and you can vote early in person. Bring your ID and you vote early in person. The second one is completely different, but almost equally important, not quite as important, is for the state Senate district, District 8, which are the northern suburbs of Milwaukee County and portions of Waukesha, Ozaukee, and Washington County. The only Democrat on the ballot this coming Tuesday is Jody Habersinikin. She's terrific. Environmental lawyer. Mom has four kids. She's honest. She'd be terrific. And she's running some very good ads. On the Republican side, there are several candidates. One of them is Janelle Branchon, from Menominee Falls, an election denier, stands for gerrymandering, said that the election should have been overturned and the legislature should have given Trump the electors. She made a political mistake. She supported Robin Voss's opponent in his primary, and the guy almost won, totally unqualified guy, Adam Steen, I think his name was. Not that Voss is qualified, he's gerrymandered, but so Voss got angry and threw her out of the Republican caucus and called her inept, unqualified. And she spends her time tearing down the Republican Party. Well, let me tell you something. She is inept, she is unqualified, so is Voss, he's gerrymandered too. He isn't throwing her out of the caucus because he opposes the fact that she was for Trump. Or the fact that she didn't want Joe Biden to be certified. He's throwing her out because she made a political mistake and supported his opponent in the primary. The other main candidate is Dan Knodel, K-N-O-D-L, or Knodel. He is Voss's guy. He's a colorless. He's a good boy. He's a good boy on the Republican side. Goes along to get along. He also contacted Pence and said, as a vice president, Pence should not certify Joe Biden.
I'm William Shatner. I've been around a long time, but I'm truly humbled when I see the real battles our brave, paralyzed veterans have faced defending our freedom.
I was on a routine patrol, and we were in the desert of Kuwait, and the vehicle flipped and landed on top of me, which left me paralyzed from the waist down.
Okay, folks, this is heroism. That's why I'm proud to support Paralyzed Veterans of America. Go to pva.org to learn how you can make a difference.
One day it's bone-chilling cold, the next the sun is shining. Hey, it's Wisconsin. Don't like the weather? Wait 10 minutes. It'll change. Sooner or later, the snow will go away. But right now, it's freezing cold. And all that cold weather can cause freeze-ups in your holding tank or septic pipe system. So be sure that you keep an eye out for trouble. And call Crockett Septic to help you if you encounter a jam. Call Crockett Septic today at 715-712-3456. Crockett Septic, where the trucks smell like sweet cherry pie.
Crockett Septic serves you near or far. Holding tanks and septics pump right there in your yard. They got porta potties ready for you too. They'll pump away that stinky nasty poo. Crockett Septic, be there in a jiff. Crockett Septic, no more nasty whiff. Crockett Septic, they won't make you cry. Their bumper trucks smell just like cherry pie.
Do you wish deciding if building, remodeling, or finding a new home would be as easy as learning your ABCs and 1-2-3s? Well, it can be if you work with Key Savings Bank at 811 East Grand Avenue, Wisconsin Rapids, or the town of Rome. Our experienced staff will take the time to help you explore your options, such as our owner-builder loan, flexible terms, and competitive rates, too. At Key Savings Bank, we'll help you make the right decision and avoid any unnecessary hurdles. You'll feel right at home in no time. Member FDIC, Equal Housing Lender.
Locally Grown Radio, your home for news, talk, and sports from Rudolph to Nakusa. 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
Visit ManagerBP.org. Brought to you by the Ad Council, the American Heart Association, and the American Medical Association. In partnership with the Office of Minority Health and Health Resources and Services Administration.
Fear you may be missing out? We're always streaming on TuneIn and the Civic Media app. Enjoy listening live or catch up by finding the podcast at civicmedia.us or wherever you enjoy listening to your podcasts.
Here's your updated forecast on the Shaw.
Scattered rain showers likely tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows dip down to about 41. Southerly winds 10 to 20 miles an hour. Cloudy skies expected again tomorrow. Highs level off around 44. Cloudy skies expected tomorrow night. Chance of snow showers 25. 4 to 8 inches of snow tomorrow night through Thursday night. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Derek Height. Currently, it's 46 degrees.
Bringing some sanity to the airwaves. The Shaw 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM.
Welcome back. It's Matt Flynn, Director. Lines are open, 844-967-2789. I want to get back to the 8th District, the Senate District, for the Milwaukee County suburbs, a little bit of Waukesha, Washington County, Ozaukee County. This race is very important because if Jody Habush-Sinikin wins it, the Democrat, it will deny the Republicans a veto-proof majority in the Senate. They're only two or three seats away from a veto-proof majority in the House, in the Assembly, believe it or not. We are the most gerrymandered state in the country. There are 33 Senate districts. When Alberta Darling was in this seat, they had 22 of them. We had 11 of them, even though we get half the vote. That's corrupt. That's gerrymander. It's commie government. But we got to do something about it, and this is one way to do it. Jody Habush-Sinikin gets in, and they don't have a veto-proof majority anymore. Obviously, in the Assembly, you have to make sure that they don't chip away any more seats. Now, two things. The two major candidates, Janelle Branchen and this Dan Knodel has one accomplishment. He is pressing to make February 6th, quote, Ronald Reagan Day, end quote, in Wisconsin. This is pathetic. Guy's pathetic. Absolutely pathetic. So, but he's the institutional character that's being supported by Voss and people of that ilk. I'm thinking that Voss right now is really losing popularity among the Republican rank and file. They're really tired of these guys. When you have a guy like this Adam Steen in his 20s who had absolutely, absolutely, absolutely no credentials at all and almost knocks Voss off, that tells you something. And there's something else that's happening here that I think is terrific. Jody Habush-Sinikin is doing a tactic that, well, I call the Claire McCaskill tactic. She was a U.S. senator from Missouri, had a very tough re-election fight a couple of years ago, and she had several opponents. One of them probably could have beaten her, but there was another one on the other side that was a flat-out nut, and he made statements about women, about sexual assault, saying that a woman couldn't get pregnant if the sexual assault was really uninvited, and really ticked a lot of people off. So Claire McCaskill put on a lot of ads that just mentioned his name, said he's so conservative, I'm so afraid if he gets the nomination. Well, Republicans fell for the bait, nominated him, and Claire McCaskill won, the Democrat. Well, Jody Habush-Sinikin is doing that in a much smoother way. In her ads, she just starts with this Janelle Branchen, who is flat out bonkers, says she's so conservative. She got Legislator of the Year award by a pro-life group. She wants to defund Planned Parenthood. Well, this is catnip to a lot of the people out there in Waukesha County and Ozaukee and Milwaukee and in Washington County. I think, and the other people haven't been putting on ads. I have a feeling that they will fall for the trap and they will vote for Janelle Branchon. Then, second part of the ad, Jody Habersinickan has some very, very good stuff about her. An environmental lawyer, should be terrific in the state Senate. So stand by. Very, very important race. The most important is getting Janet Protasiewicz, Judge Janet Protasiewicz, in the Supreme Court primary on February 21, a week from now. She has more prosecutor experience than the other three candidates combined. Two-term judge so far, sterling reputation, and there isn't even a close comparison between her and any of the others in experience. So there's a second one, though, if you're in the 8th Senate District, Jody Habersinickan, but I think you may find that this canoe will go down in flames. Go to the lines. Bill of South Milwaukee, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Bill?
Hi. I just wanted to add a little more about one of the Republican Senate candidates. You know, just in case, you know, we know people know what a nutcase Janelle Branchon is. People know that Canoto is Robin Voss's rubber stamp. I just thought I'd mention Van Mobley actually has been heard of. He was the original Trump supporter in this state in 2016 when the entire Republican establishment, including talk radio, was opposing Trump. Van Mobley was about, I remember at the time it was written, he was about the only elected official in the state. He's the Thiensville Village president. He's the only elected official in the state to support Trump at that point. So in case anybody might think that he's going to be any better than the other two, think again.
Outstanding, Bill. Thank you for calling in. I did not know that. We'll go quick now to Sauk City Bob, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Sauk City Bob?
Yeah, hi, Matt. Say, I was out for a walk yesterday listening to your program, and I just thought, you being a lawyer, you'd want to make sure that, you know, you're using the correct language when you're describing a certain situation. And when you were talking about the Supreme Court, they didn't actually certify or endorse Joe Biden. What they did was is they prevented the election from being overturned.
Yeah, I think that's a good way to put it. But remember, radio is a hot medium, and you have to put it in the vernacular. But Sauk City Bob is correct. What Sauk City Bob is saying is when the Republicans tried to get it overturned, three of the judges would have voted to overturn it. In other words, take away from Biden. Four of them voted to sustain the results. And frankly, the hero there, Brian Hagedorn, he was a Republican, but I'll tell you what, I think that he did quite a heck of a job. But that's right. It's not a matter of certifying or not, but it's the same thing, because Republicans go, okay, don't certify Joe Biden. Okay. So three of them, the Republicans go, okay, we won't certify Joe Biden. If it hadn't been for the other four, including one Republican who I think is character, even though he's a Republican, but it didn't matter to him. He read the Constitution. We avoided a constitutional crisis. Bob, thanks a lot. Call in a lot in the future. We're going to a break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
The Shaw One.
Your hometown news talk and sports station is locally grown radio, 97.5 FM and WFHR 1320 AM.
I was just curious as to why you called it the Paul Revere Show.
The Paul Revere Show is named this way because the poem that we all know, the famous Ride, the poem was written to rally the troops to fight slavery and fight for democracy. And so I named the show the Paul Revere Show because I thought it was the time to get on the air and talk about democracy.
The Paul Revere Show with Mark Thompson. Listen Monday, 7 to 8 p.m., always on the Civic Media app.
The Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council present the story of Cynthia and Ed.
My mother was always very active and independent, and she was familiar with her neighborhood. But one day, out of the blue, she stopped at the stop sign for much longer than usual. And she didn't know whether she should go forward or turn or just stay at the stop sign. She wasn't even really sure where she was at. She was very concerned. It was very unsettling for her.
It's important for you to talk to someone about it, to bring the family in on it. I felt so much better after my son told me, Mom, I don't want you to worry or be afraid. I'll be there for you and we'll figure it out.
When something feels different, it could be Alzheimer's. Now is the time to talk. Visit alz.org/ourstories to learn more. A message from the Alzheimer's Association and the Ad Council.
Victor deployed for the first time to Afghanistan in 2003. At 4 in the morning, my phone rang. They said, I regret to inform you that your husband was wounded in action. Victor sustained a moderate traumatic brain injury. I was doing school full-time, and I was also then caring for Victor. One of the most important elements of caregiving is taking care of yourself. I just didn't want to forget that I also had goals and that I also had a life. What I did is I challenged Victor to meet me halfway. There are almost 6 million military and veteran caregivers across the nation. We have our own journey, and we can fulfill that journey at the same time that we are helping our loved one.
Visit aarp.org/caregiving for a free military veteran's guide to navigate your caregiving journey and better care for your loved one and yourself. Brought to you by AARP and the Ad Council.
Sweetie, want some fruit?
You have to use the right tool for the job. A power drill is the wrong tool to slice fruit. Just like an antibiotic is the wrong tool to treat viruses, including colds and flu. Antibiotics are only needed for certain bacterial infections. When they aren't needed, antibiotics won't help you, and the side effects could still hurt you. Ask your healthcare professional when an antibiotic is the right tool and when it's not. Visit cdc.gov/antibiotic-use.
From the Civic Media News Desk, I'm Melissa Kay. Here's what you need to know. The 30-year-old driver who crashed his vehicle in Amherst Junction, killing a 58-year-old passenger, made his first appearance in court yesterday. Axel Cruz Zelaya of Appleton has been charged with operating a vehicle without a valid license, causing death. The crash happened on November 18th on Highway 10 West. Speed and road conditions contributed to the vehicle entering the ditch before rolling and ending upright. The 58-year-old passenger was pronounced dead at the scene. Cruz Zelaya faces up to 6 years in jail if convicted. Governor Evers wants automatic voter registration in Wisconsin. More details of his two-year budget proposal are coming out ahead of his budget address tomorrow night. Evers wants to connect the databases for the DMV and the Elections Commission, so when you get your driver's license or renew it, you're registered to vote. The governor is also proposing a number of other voting initiatives, even though they're not expected to become part of the final budget. I'm Melissa Kay for Civic Media News.
Here's your forecast from locally grown radio WFHR. Isolated rain showers likely tonight, otherwise overcast skies. Lows level off around 38, southerly winds 10 to 15 miles per hour. Overcast skies tomorrow, slight chance for isolated showers, daytime highs approaching 40. Chance for snow tomorrow night, lows around 20, overcast. For Civic Media, I'm meteorologist Jennifer Wojcicki. Currently, it's 45.
And DeSantis is the only alternative, and he's bad, but he's not as bad as Trump. Well, I think he is, and let me tell you the following. First of all, with regard to Trump, you may not know it, but a number of senators and congressmen and governors have already endorsed Trump for re-election. The Senate, Senator Mullins of Oklahoma, Eric Schmidt of Missouri, Tommy Tuberville of Alabama, Lindsey Graham of South Carolina, they've all endorsed Trump. 17 House members have endorsed Trump for re-election, and McMaster, the governor of South Carolina, has endorsed him. So don't lightly brush him away. As bad as he is, he's a Putin asset, betrayed us to Putin. Be very, very wary of him. So a lot of people go, well, don't have to worry about him because Ron DeSantis will beat him and blah, blah, blah. Well, I'm not going to try to prognosticate what that election will do. But let me tell you something DeSantis did the other day, and I want to explain the background of this. DeSantis called on the justices to revisit the case of New York Times versus Sullivan back in the early 60s. And he's also said that he would appoint justices if he's president who would overturn that case. Gorsuch on the Supreme Court and Clarence Thomas agree with him. All it would take with two more, and they would overturn New York Times versus Sullivan. Now, why is that important? It's important because we would lose representative democracy. We'd lose our democracy if that could overturn, and here's why. New York Times versus Sullivan was a libel case. And in it, a guy named Sullivan, who was a sheriff down in Alabama, sued the New York Times and said that in some ad or article they had run, it impugned his character. That somehow, you know, there was some murders around there, some crimes that occurred, and Sullivan was somehow kind of didn't police it correctly or whatever. Now, Sullivan wasn't even named in the ad. But it was inferential. He said, well, because they talked about sheriffs and blah, blah, blah. It went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. And in those days, and even now, you have a case like that in one of those southern courts, they will come back with a big verdict again in favor of the local guys. And it costs a lot to hire lawyers, but the New York Times had the money. They went up to the U.S. Supreme Court. In the case of New York Times versus Sullivan, the first time to protect the First Amendment, here's what the Supreme Court said. It said, when you have a public figure, and that's an elected official, for instance, like this guy or a movie star, or anybody who's a public figure, in other words, has name recognition, it's not enough to allege and show that what was said was untrue about you. You have to also show that it was done with malice. Now, malice is a term of art. That's not what you think it is. It doesn't mean, you know, some, you know, anger or something of that nature. It means deliberately stated, even though you knew it was false, or you were so reckless because one phone call could have told you it was false. But unless that's the case, a public figure can't sue. That is essential for our First Amendment. You pick up the National Enquirer all the time or see it in the grocery store, the stuff they have on the front page about any celebrity is libelous. But frequently, it's just a little wisp of a rumor, that kind of thing, and nobody pays much attention to it. If you did not have New York Times versus Sullivan in this climate, Republicans would sue, especially small papers. You know who did this was Trump. He sued a TV station up in Rhinelander for airing a commercial that somebody else had placed that had all of his comments in his own voice, you recall, saying that he knew that the pandemic was very serious and he knew that it could kill people. And then he went ahead and shot his mouth off and said it wouldn't and couldn't in public. He didn't sue the Milwaukee media because they have the money to defend themselves. He didn't sue the national media, and he didn't sue the Madison media. He sued Rhinelander. Now, these stations have very low margins. They're very, very spare margins. They took it off the air. They took it off the air. The wrestler Hulk Hogan. There was a case where some media outlet had broadcast a video of him having sex with some woman, I think the wife of a friend, believe it or not. And Peter Thiel, T-H-I-E-L, he's the billionaire, was mad at that publication because they had broken the story that he was gay. And he didn't like that. So he funded a libel lawsuit of Hulk Hogan against this media organization, and Hogan won and bankrupted them. They went out of business. There are people now who buy shares in litigation, venture capitalists, hedge funds, because attorneys' fees are very expensive. So they will pay the lawyers themselves, but then they get half the victory if there's a victory. if New York Times versus Sullivan is repealed, and the only standard is whether a jury thinks it's true or not, you will not have a free media. And if you don't have a free media, you will not have a First Amendment. In other countries around the world, journalists are murdered. One of the most dangerous places in Mexico. They have a crooked narco government. A lot of them are on the take from drug cartels, their parliament. They had a prior president who, there was testimony at El Chapo's trial that he'd been paid $100 million by the cartels. We right now have a fellow named Luna who is under indictment and he's being tried for taking money from the cartels. We had a prior highly placed defense official. We arrested them. The Mexican government, some of them down there, threatened to expose our agents, our drug agents, which means they'd be killed. If we didn't return them for trial in Mexico, we did. They dismissed the charges, shook his hand, and he's back in business. It's a crooked government. It's a crooked narco government. Now, there, their journalists are killed. Many of them are killed. They're killed in a lot of places in Asia and in Africa. So far, they haven't been killed in this country, although Donald Trump has threatened them at his rallies. He'll point out to them and say, there's the fake media. Some of them need escorts to get back to their cars. The Republican Party, as you know, has injected the threat of violence into our society, into our discourse. But this is deeper and more serious in this respect. You have DeSantis saying he wants New York Times versus Sullivan repealed. You have Gorsuch and Clarence Thomas. It only takes two more. DeSantis is president. He said he's going to appoint justices who would repeal it. His communications aide is a woman named Christina Puschau. She calls the media, this is his communications aide, quote, partisan legacy media and, quote, Democratic activists posing as a Capitol press corps, end quote. In the New York Times versus Sullivan, there has been a lot of case law interpreting it. And some of the case law in the cases have extended the doctrine of public figure, which makes you very difficult to sue you, to what's called a limited purpose public figure. In other words, you may not be an elected official, you may not be a celebrity, but if you're swept up in a public controversy and you get a lot of publicity, the same protections apply for the media if they report on it. This is essential. And the core reason for this is because public figures, whether it's politicians, whether it's celebrities, whether it's limited purpose public figures, usually have the wherewithal to defend themselves if they have to. And more importantly, when people see things said about public figures, about a movie star, about a congressman, a senator, they sort of take it with a grain of salt. That will change with somebody like Ron DeSantis in there. That will change. I cannot tell you how dangerous this is, and I cannot tell you enough how important this is. If he gets in, you already have Gorsuch and Thomas. He's going to appoint justices who would overturn it. And we will not have a free media. They can't afford it. You will have billionaires. You will have venture capitalists who are trying to invest in plaintiffs' cases. And every time a newspaper or a magazine or a TV station says or reports something that's even very true, but there are any rough edges around it, not quite 100% true, the doctrine in libel cases is all it has to be is substantially true, but that is up to the jury what that means. And juries in Alabama and a lot of these places can say whatever they want. I've tried libel cases. I represented a very, very good media company in their TV and radio properties here in Wisconsin. And I'll never forget one case I had. It involved whether a letter was libelous. And I was defending the organization that had published it. And we had a tough case because, quite frankly, we had a lot of problems with that letter. But I made my argument to the jury, and they came back a few hours later and said it wasn't libelous, and we won. The judge let us talk to the jury, sort of debrief them. That can be done only if the judge permits it. And I said, how did you come to that decision? And they said, this is what they said. They said, we didn't know what substantially true means. So we put the letter on a blackboard, and we counted the words. And it was 134 words, the letter was. And they said slightly more than half of them were true, and the rest were not true. Now, we'd won the case, but I said, which ones were true and which ones weren't true? And they basically said, well, the nouns and the verbs were untrue, but the pronouns and the articles were true. That's the kind of stuff juries do. And I was the, you know, my client was the beneficiary of that. But the point is, the standard is substantial truth, but if you're dealing with a public figure, they have to prove malice. They have to prove that you published it on purpose, knowing it was false, or one phone call practically would tell you it was false. And that has sustained our First Amendment. Gorsuch and Thomas were notorious for other things, both in the abortion context and a lot of other things, but on the other side of that, DeSantis has now said he's on the other side of it. Trump has said he's on the other side of it. If either one of these characters gets in, we're not talking people like Liz Cheney here, or Adam Kinzinger, or even Mitt Romney, people who are what I would call conventional Republicans with integrity. We are talking about radicals who would install commie government on this country. I've said before, and I will say right now, fascism creeps in on little cat's feet. When Hitler took over in the elections of 1932 and 1933, he got himself appointed the chancellor. He asked the Reichstag, which is the equivalent of their Congress, to suspend itself for a few years, and he'd take care of problems. And then he had some of them killed, and they never got reinstated, and he started the Holocaust in World War II. He didn't do it with machine guns. He just gave speeches, said, you don't have to worry about me. You don't have to worry about me. Just let me have power for a while. That's what happened. And this is what's happening right now. And we have got to understand that. We will not have a First Amendment if DeSantis or Trump get in. We'll not have a First Amendment. Biden's running again. I think he can beat either one of them. We got to get behind him. We're going to break. The lines are open, 844-967-2789. A lot more back after the break.
I keep a close watch on this heart of mine. I keep my eyes wide open all the time. I keep the ends out for the tie that binds. Because you're mine, I walk the line.
Light the lamp.
All the way down, he scores! A 200-foot empty net goal for the captain.
And defend the ice.
Driving in, centering pass. Oh, great sliding left pad save.
This is America's college hockey capital.
Fire one towards the net and scores.
This is your radio home for Wisconsin Badger hockey.
Right here on WFHR, locally grown radio, your home for Wisconsin sports.
My name is Juanita Segura, and I was diagnosed in November of 2014 with non-small cell lung cancer. The first time I heard about biomarker testing was actually my husband. He just started researching about lung cancer.
And I found out about biomarker testing, and I'm like, why not? Let's try it.
I'm Dr. Jorge Gomez, thoracic medical oncologist at the Mount Sinai Hospital. Comprehensive biomarker testing is looking for either substances in the blood or mutations in some of the genes of the cancer cells that can help us identify special types of lung cancer that can be treated with what we call targeted therapies.
Letting my children know brought all of us a sense of hope. To give them hope that mom is gonna be around to see you grow up. And I promised them that.
Ask your doctor about how comprehensive biomarker testing before treatment may help you and your doctor decide on the best treatment for you. Visit noonemissed.org for more.
A public service message from Longevity Foundation.
Melissa from Michigan. I work an extra part-time job serving lunch at my child's school, but I still can't afford to put food on our table.
Daniel from California. Choosing whether to pay the rent or pay to fix the car to get to work doesn't leave us with much at all. Now we can't even pay for meals.
Hunger is a story we can end. End it at feedingamerica.org. Brought to you by Feeding America and the Ad Council.
From Wisconsin Rapids to Stevens Point, your news, talk, and sports is 97.5 FM, locally grown radio.
On 101 FM, WAUK 540 AM, Waukesha's only news talk station.
And direct. Our lines are open, 844-967-2789. One of the lines, Tom McFarland, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Tom?
Hi, Matt. You know, just for those callers or listeners who think that you're being hyperbolic in regards to DeSantis, one of the books that has made the ban list and is now a felony in Florida, if you have that on the shelf of a library, is the story of Hank Aaron. And the reason why this book made the ban list is because the story speaks to the prejudice that he experienced within his career. And it's thought that it portrays whites in a very negative fashion. So because of the fact that they're talking about Hank Aaron and his experience, no, DeSantis decides that that's an illegal book. We can't have that on our shelves. And that's just one of many books that DeSantis has on there. And they all seem to be a common thread that we want to have our version of history, and anything that is counter to that is now going to be illegal.
That is an excellent point. I want to give a little background on what Tom McFarland just said. DeSantis is truly bad news. Do not think that he's a benign Trump. He's not a benign Trump. He's a wannabe. And two things. I met Hank Aaron. He came into town to campaign for Dick Artisan for mayor in the mid-90s. I was supporting Dick, and Hank Aaron autographed a bunch of baseballs. I still have several of them. I thought he had more dignity, quiet dignity, than any man I've ever met. And in his early years, many of you don't know this, he started playing baseball, minor league, in Eau Claire, Wisconsin. And you know what was sad was? They did a biography of him. Even Eau Claire. Now, Eau Claire is a terrific town, and it's a lot better than anywhere in the South. But when he was done with practice, he just went back to his room. He didn't feel that he could walk around town, had a little food in his room, and sat there by himself. Those guys had a lot of guts. They had a lot of guts. And the thing about DeSantis is he not only did that you just described, but now he has set up a task force to prosecute voters in the minority areas. He set up this election integrity police force. And now they have put a statute on his desk, which he's about to sign, because they have a gerrymandered Republican majority, that makes it easier to prosecute voters around the state. Now, most of these people were arrested by DeSantis. They've been felons. Well, the Floridians voted in a referendum to let people who had finished their sentences vote. The Florida Supreme Court, a gerrymandered Republican court, said, well, we're going to say, though, that they have to pay off their fines, their forfeitures, and the court costs. Well, none of these people could even find work, much less pay $10,000, $30,000. And some of them were sent ballots in the mail maybe 2 weeks before their theoretical probation time period expired, and they go and vote. DeSantis would send a SWAT team to get them, and they would have camouflage, and they'd have semi-automatics, and scream and shout and scare the hell out of the neighborhood. And there are 20 of them who were arrested, all ex-prisoners. And every one of them was not convicted. The judges wouldn't put up with this. But let me tell you what happened. If a task force showed up in my neighborhood with semi-automatics and camouflage screaming, pushing. I wouldn't like it. I'd do something about it, but I'd vote. But you do that in a minority area where if a police officer kills someone, if a police officer thinks someone's hands are not in view, that kind of thing. This has happened. They get the message. I guess the governor doesn't want us to vote. And many will vote, but not all of them will vote. Not all of them will vote. These guys show up in combat uniforms, rifles, shouting, pushing. They terrorize the vote. And Abbott did this in Texas, too. And he passed laws, too, that said if you interfere with the line of sight of one of the thugs who's permitted to be an election monitor, quote unquote, that you have committed a crime. And they don't enforce that in most jurisdictions. Some lady sitting there all day gets up to use the bathroom and some thug that you know, why they let these people in right next to the voters to glare at them in minority districts is wrong. That's why the U.S. Supreme Court got rid of the Voting Rights Act, virtually all of it. There's only a little bit left. Nobody said they had the jurisdiction to overrule a statute of Congress that's been in effect since the 60s. Nobody. They just did it. There are no checks and balances on the Supreme Court. There are on the president and there are on the Congress. That's got to change. Merrick Garland should be bringing actions against these kinds of criminal laws, and he hasn't been doing it. And he should do it. So DeSantis, if he gets in, you're going to have a national election police force, SWAT teams going out, frankly, because he did it in Florida. Why wouldn't he do it nationally? And number two, you are going to see him putting on Supreme Court justices who will, in effect, get rid of the First Amendment protections of our free press. One of the lines, we have a little time left, and I can get you all in if you take a minute and a half, maybe a minute. Wisco Paul, my friend, thanks for calling. What's your mind today, Wisco Paul?
Hey, I'll just make this quick. DeSantis is actually worse than Trump, if that's possible, but that's just the way it is, Matt. Thanks for taking my call.
Thank you, Paul. And you're right, except that right now, Trump has also betrayed us to Putin. I don't know if DeSantis would do that. I don't want either one of them. Jacob, Eureka, California, you're our last caller, my friend. Thanks for calling. What's in your mind?
Hey, Matt, well, you know, DeSantis has to distract the public from the latest controversy that Donald Trump is bringing up about DeSantis. And, of course, that is about DeSantis grooming young high school girls when DeSantis was a teacher in the state of Georgia. And of course, we've seen the photos of these young underage girls hanging all over DeSantis while they're drunk. So, you know, we got some questions about what DeSantis was up to when he was a teacher. And it's Donald Trump who's presented the evidence. So it's about time DeSantis answers some questions about what he's doing hanging out with a bunch of underage girls when he was their teenager, getting them, when he was their teacher, and when they were teenagers, and he was getting them drunk.
Right. Well, here's the thing, though. I agree half of that, but the other half is Trump, when he owned the Miss Teen contest, would barge into teenage girls' dressing rooms, and they'd scream, and they'd say, as a man on the floor, and he said he's just checking to make sure they're safe, and he's a friend of Jeffrey Epstein. Both of them are no good. Both of them, Trump and DeSantis, are no darn good. We're going to the end of the show. Great show. Great call, as always. Matt Flynn, direct. We'll be back same time, same place tomorrow. Signing off for today.
Let's face it. Life looks a little different. During these times, we're doing our best to keep our minds and bodies strong. And getting a flu shot helps us stay healthy, so we don't miss out on what matters. Like having game night at home. Yeah, can't do that while sick with the flu. Now imagine family movie night that your daughter can't live without. Well, that's ruined. And don't forget your uncle's socially distanced cookout. See? That's why it's important to be at our strongest. Every year, millions of people in the U.S. get the flu. especially now. No one has time to miss out on moments that matter. So get your flu shot. Find out more at getmyflushot.org. Brought to you by the AMA, CDC, and the
WFHR Wisconsin Rapids, 1320 AM and W248DE, broadcasting at 97.5 FM.